You love Jesus. I know you do. Why do I even ask that question? I think it's because I think it's good for us to hear ourselves say, yes, I love Jesus. You know, Jesus knew that Peter loved him, but he asked him anyway, do you love me? Because Peter needed to hear it. Don't you think Peter's the one who needed to say, yes, Lord, I love you? I reckon that's what needed to take place. So do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. That's good ground rules. No arguing. That's good. We can live with that. Because the Holy Spirit will do all the arguing that needs to be done in the innermost part of the heart. And we just share about Jesus and grin like a possum eating sweet taters. I don't know if they're grinning because they clean their teeth or what, but they're grinning. John chapter 10. I'm going to grin all night long. I've been enjoying John 10 this week in our CCI Devo. You know that's where we are. And there's been some wonderful things that have been shared by different folks in there. And I just continue to be blessed. I'm enjoying this challenge of finding something different every day in the same passage of Scripture. It's a good challenge for me. And the Lord has used it over the last several months. I think we've been doing this for about 8 months or so. I'm not sure exactly how long. I know we finished Romans and Ephesians, and we're halfway through John. But in John chapter 10, I'm going to be ministering on verses 1 through 27, but I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to pick some verses out of there. This is a really a powerful passage of Scripture dealing with the shepherd and his sheep. And I'm going to entitle our message tonight, Hearing God's Voice. And talk about that. I think it's a good message to begin the new year with, talking about hearing God's voice. One of the greatest compliments that we as a ministry have ever received in Christian Challenge has been for people, often they've said, that you taught me how to hear God's voice. And what an incredible compliment that is. That someone can participate in your life and direct you not to their resources or their guides or their tools, but can redirect you to their Jesus. Because if you can hear His voice, your life is going to be a whole lot better off than if you got to find some guru somewhere to always answer your questions for you, right? Amen. So let's talk about hearing His voice. A frequently asked question nowadays is, what is God's will for me? And you hear this question a lot. There are devotional guides that are written around it. There are books that are written about how to find God's will for your life. There are websites and Bible study groups and all kinds of resources that are put out there to help people find God's will. But when we ask the question, how do I find God's will, or what is God's will for me, what do we really want to know? We really want to know, God, how are you going to help me get through this circumstance? Or what is your plan for my life in this situation? And I think the question that we really need to be asking is not, what is God's will for me, but how can I know the voice of God? Because if we know His voice, we'll know His will. If we know His voice, we'll know His will. Because He has not been silent. God has not ceased to speak. In fact, through the ages, He has continued to speak, and He's wanted men to know that Jesus quoted in Matthew chapter 4, man will not live or should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This was spoken in the early covenant days. And this is also spoken through Jesus. And you'll notice He uses this present tense verb that proceeds. King James says proceedeth. The idea is not that man lives from every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, but every word that continues to, every word that preceded, every word that proceeds now, every word that will proceed out of the mouth of God. So it must be important to know how to hear that voice in the midst of things. It is important to know the voice of God. Now I'm going to give you a key, a little tip that I found when I was researching something, and it just jumped out to me. I wish I knew who the author of this was, because I'd love to give them credit. This was supposedly attributed to an early Christian, not early Christian, though, of the last century. So I'm not sure who it was. There was an anonymous author. And here's what he said. This is going to help you get something out of any sermon you ever listen to. If I could give you one key that would help you and get something out of every sermon you ever hear, would you enjoy that key? All right, this is too long for you to write down, but I want you to listen to this. This will help you get something out of every sermon. And we wrote, at least one time in every sermon, God breaks through the words of the preacher and speaks directly to the people. It may be in a single sentence or just one phrase. We can well afford to listen to the entire discourse with care lest we miss that one illuminated and searching sentence in which God speaks to us. A sentence that brings conviction, penitence, hope, strength, or renewed faith. So many of us miss that one special word from God because we are comparing the preacher's manner with that of some other preacher we've heard recently. From now on, just listen intently for that one portion God intends to be applied specifically to your heart. Now, a lot was said in that paragraph, but the idea was that God's going to speak to you if you will listen. It's funny, from time to time I'll go up to Brother Buddy and I'll say, man, that was just the best sermon you've ever preached. You're just getting better and better. No, it's just that I paid attention for a change. Did I really say that? It's true for me. I know that He preaches better when I pay attention. He preaches better when I take notes. When I'm listening to hear from God, I hear from God. But when I can't wait for that clock to get around there and hear that familiar ding-dong in the back when Gary pushes those buttons underneath that countertop back there, well, we leave there and thinking, yo-ho-hum. And so here's the key. Tonight, here's what I want you to do. As you're listening to this tonight, listen for that one sentence out of everything I'm going to say over the next 30, 45 minutes. One thing God's going to speak to you. I don't know which one it is, and you don't either. I wish it was a whole lot more than one. I hope that there is a whole lot more than one. But be listening for that one thing that God gives you to take home and apply and put into work in your life, and you'll be blessed. All right, so let's go back to talking about the voice of God. This thing keeps sliding down more than I'm used to, so we'll figure it out. All right. There are a lot of voices in the world. We know that. There are a lot of voices. The Scripture teaches us and talks to us, and we know that there are many voices in the world today. How do we learn to distinguish them? Well, first of all, let me list some of the voices. First voice we have is the voice of man. Pretty English, easy to discern the voice of man because it's an audible voice. It's something you hear. The voice of man is something we hear with our ears. We hear advice, counsel, input from people, and it can be good. Wise counsel can be given from one person to another. But anytime the voice of man conflicts with the voice of God, we have to make sure that we listen to the right voice. Another voice that's out there is the voice of Satan. This is the first time this voice was ever heard by man was in the Garden of Eden when he spoke to Eve. Did God really say? And that pretty much set the tone for the voice of Satan throughout Scripture and throughout the history of mankind. He's always questioning the Word of God. And so you got to be careful with the voice of Satan. His voice is full of lies and deception. That's what the Scripture characterizes him as. And he's always trying to lead man away from God. And you can see that very clearly in his temptation. When he tempted Jesus, you can see how every temptation, in one way or another, was a subtle attempt to get away from doing things God's way. So that's the voice of Satan. Then we have the voice of self. I was interesting, in my Quick Verse Bible program, I did a little search on using the word spoke to himself, just to see. You know what I found out? I'm not making theology out of this, but most of the time when it says he said to himself or he spoke to himself or he thought to himself, most of the time he was talking himself into doing something he shouldn't have. In reality, man thought to himself, one looks and he thinks to himself, well, my master is doing this and I can get by with it. Or one thought to himself and he decides to go out and, you know, the servant thought to himself that after Naaman wanted to give the goods to the prophet. There's so many times where someone thinks to themselves something they should not be doing. And so we got to be careful listening to our own voice because the voice of ourself is often even a failing voice. Jeremiah chapter 10, don't go there, but Jeremiah 10 verse 23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. And we need to remember that. A lot of times what we think is a good voice is just ourselves speaking. I'm going to give you an example of that in a minute. You are in John chapter 10, right? Well, look with me in verse number 1. When Jesus is continuing to speak, there's been a huge debate over a miracle. Jesus had healed a man. The man's been cast out of the synagogue. He's been excommunicated. Jesus reached out to him in the last part of John 9. This man has demonstrated saving faith in Jesus Christ. He's fallen and worshipped him. We talked about some of those things before. But last week we talked about those five steps to belief. John chapter 10, though, look at verse 1. This is the same sitting. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door of the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Folks, the other voice that I'm going to talk about tonight is the voice of God. We've got the voice of man, we've got the voice of Satan, we've got the voice of self, but the voice we want to hear is the voice of God. Jesus is given a parable, and so he doesn't call him God here, he calls him the shepherd, but he says the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. The believers in Scripture are often compared to sheep. We may not like the comparison sometimes because we don't really think of the sheep as a noble animal. I'm not, you know, do you think of a sheep as a noble animal? You know, people ask me, you know, we all have a favorite animal, right? Everybody has a favorite. Don't you have a favorite animal? What's some of your favorite animals? Don't say sheep, okay? You'll ruin my example. Hello. Andre, what's your favorite animal? A horse. That's a good one. Yes, ma'am. A dog. David? An owl. Who? Anybody else got something different? Cat? Somebody say cat? I couldn't hear. A frog? You said for? Dogs have owners. Cats have pets. That's what I've about figured out. Cats have staff. It's pretty much, that's true. I've got two cats, and it's, you know, "Your Royal Highness, would you like to go out now?" You know, they stand there at the door and just look at you like, "Okay, it's your turn. I've done my job by eating. It's now your turn to open the door." Yeah, I like Clydesdales. That's kind of animal. I like eagles. We all have certain animals. But nobody, I mean, if you just don't think of sheep as being, you know, what does sheep do? Right, that's what I thought. I mean, they eat. They do what happens after you eat. And they eat some more, you know. So we don't think of them as being noble. But the Scripture compares us as believers to sheep. Why? Because like sheep, there are two things specifically. One, we have gone astray. Sheep have a tendency to do that. And like sheep, we need to be led. Earlier in the week, I wrote about how I really love the fact that when here it talks about he goes out before them, he leads them, he doesn't beat them, he doesn't drive them, he doesn't hurt. You ever try to herd cats? Not going to work. Well, herding sheep may be similar. The best way for a shepherd to do that is not to get behind them and throw rocks at them. Sure, some people use dogs and stuff like that. But the good shepherd who knows his sheep by name, who understands his sheep, and knows their character, knows their nature, and who has taught them to love him, leads with his voice. And this is the voice of God. I want to have the attitude that David had. Actually, it wasn't David. It was the sons of sons of those other guys who wrote some of the Psalms. I can't remember that guy's name. Sons of Ahab? No. Asaph? It wasn't Asaph either. It was something like Korath, maybe. Sons of Korath. That's what it was. They said, "I will listen. I will listen and hear what God the Lord will say." That needs to be our heart. That needs to be our attitude. Folks, I believe that God is speaking. I believe that God has continued to speak. God has spoken. He is speaking and will continue to speak. Will we hear? Kind of reminds me of the story of a man who was pretty much convinced that his wife was hard of hearing. He was having a hard time communicating with her. Things were always being, you know, misunderstood. They were waving each other across the room and stuff, and you know, hand signals because the voices weren't working. And she just didn't seem to. He thought she was hard of hearing, so he decides to pull a little test. One day she's sitting down at her chair knitting, and he gets on the other side of the room behind her, and he says, "Can you hear me?" Nothing. So he steps forward a few more feet. "Can you hear me now?" Nothing. A few more feet. "Can you hear me?" Still no reply. Gets right behind her chair and he says, "Can you hear me now?" And she says, "For the fourth time, yes." Is it that he's not speaking? Or is it that we're not listening? So let's talk a little bit more about hearing the voice of God. First of all, what are the requirements to hear God's voice? I believe there are some. Some of them are delineated here, and some of them I've just pulled out of the air, out of other scriptures. The first one is a very obvious one. The first one that for us to understand is that you've got to be saved. Hello? Right? Isn't that important? That would be, salvation would be an important first step to hearing the voice of God. In John chapter 10, where we are, look at verse 3. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name." I love that. "He leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." They follow him because they know his voice. "A stranger they simply will not follow, but flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Now drop down with me to verse number 26, where he's explaining this some more, and he says to the Pharisees, "But you do not believe me because you are not of my sheep." It's a sad statement, but there are some who are not his sheep. And there are some who've made choices to not be his sheep. In John chapter 8, verse 47, he restates the point. Just turn back a page or two with me, and I want you to look at this thing about hearing his voice. John chapter 8, verse 47, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God." You want to hear God's words? You need to be of God. You want to hear His voice? You need to be a sheep. So the first requirement for hearing His voice is to be a sheep, is to come through that gate that is so narrow and so tight that it squeezes everything off of us. The eye of the needle. You have to get down on your knees and crawl through. You can't go through bringing your pride, your prejudice with you. You can't bring your wealth and your visions for the glamour and glory. You've got to get on your knees and come through that gate that is narrow, called salvation. You know that, and I know that. It's important to remember. Jesus said in John 18, verse 37, that everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. That would lead me to believe that everyone who is not of the truth doesn't hear his voice. All right, so we need to get that settled. You know you're saved, right? If you're not, do what you need to do. Confess him, believe, and let's keep going. Now, the second thing that I find in this passage, in order to hear his voice, is there needs to be a certain level of receptivity. I had to say the salvation because that's foundational, but in order to hear his voice, there's got to be a receptivity to hearing his voice. Look at verse number 4 again. "When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep," what's this next thing? "Follow him because they hear his voice." They follow him. Now, there's a little bit of circular reasoning here, if you'll allow me just this liberty with this. They follow because they hear his voice, but I believe they hear his voice because they're willing to follow. Do you remember in Revelation chapter 3, those of you who've been through the Disciples' Heart, formerly known as the Evangel Training Program, when you learned, you did your tract and you learned your dialogue, the master key, and you got to that last point, and you went to Revelation 3:20, and you said, "Behold," Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." What is hearing has to be accompanied with a corresponding action that opens the door. There has to be a receptivity to the hearing. You can sit inside your house and listen to the door knock all day long, and if it's Jesus and you don't open the door, hearing his voice isn't going to help you. There's got to be a receptivity. You've got to be willing to receive what he's saying. This is very important. Look at John chapter 8. We're going to be really right around John 10 most of the night, but John chapter 8, verse 43. Jesus says, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word." Now let me give you some of the Greek background to this verse, because it's kind of interesting. He says, "Why do you not understand what I am saying?" The Greek word there is lalia or lalion, has to do with the actual words being spoken. Why can't you hear my words? He says, it's because you cannot hear akouo. This is a very powerful word. Because this word akouo means to perceive, to comprehend, in the sense that you're going to obey. You're listening in order to do. You're not just listening as if, well, he's going to tell a joke and that's a cute story. But it's as if you're sitting there, wait, okay, you want me to do what? I'm listening, but I'm going to do what you tell me to do. He says, you can't hear me, and you can't do that. You cannot hear my word. The word there, the word there is logos or logos, which is that the expression or the concept of the idea that is that's being talked about. Does anybody here have the Spiro Zodiades Bible? David, you used to use that one, I remember. The AKG Bible. Does anybody use that Bible? Spiro Zodiades was a really powerful Greek scholar. And let me tell you what he wrote about this verse. This is coming from his notes. It says, they were listening to what he had to say, but they were not capable of understanding because they did not want to understand. This is what I mean. This is what the Greek is trying to express, what Jesus is saying to him. You can't hear me because you don't want to hear me. You can't hear me because you're not willing to do what my words are requiring of you to do. He goes on to say, those who will not give room in their hearts to His truth will not understand His speech. Those who will not give room in their hearts to His truth will not understand His speech, the outward form of His language, which His word assumes. So the question is, are we willing to do what we hear? Are we willing to do what we hear? What did the voice of heaven say after the apparition, or the, that's the wrong word. I know it's the transfiguration of Jesus, but also appearing with him, Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah are gone. The voice from heaven says what? This is my beloved Son. One says, listen to him. Another translation says, hear him. It's that Greek word, akouo. Listen with the intent of doing what he says. Don't just listen to him. We can listen to lots of stuff. But listen with the intent to do. Listen with the intent to obey. You want to hear his voice? Be ready to do what he says. The word of God has always been, just like it's quoted in Hebrews chapter 3, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That's what the word of God has been. So you want to hear God's voice? We go back to the first question I asked tonight. What is the will of God for my life? You want to know God's will for his life? You want to see God how to hear his voice? Be willing to do. Be receptive to what he's going to say to you. Be willing to do. Now the next thing I believe that's necessary, go back to John chapter 10. The next requirement for hearing God's voice is faith. John chapter 10 verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Look at this thing. The sheep hear his voice, it says in John 10 verse 27. Just flip the page over there and look at the next section, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. Now that you've heard this, and now that you've read this twice, where he says it twice, go to Hebrews chapter 4 with me. Because there's got to be something taking place in this hearing. We've already noticed that some people won't hear because they're not willing to be receptive, not willing to do. But there's something more than hearing alone that's taking place. In Hebrews chapter 4, Brother Buddy ministered on this just Sunday, a powerful message about this one giving us rest. And look at verse number 2. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. For the word they heard did not profit them. Now stop for a second. The word did not profit them. This says, my sheep heard my voice. Well, then why did the word profit the sheep? The rest of verse 2 explains to us why. It did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Hearing needs to be mixed up with something else. It needs to be mixed up with faith. So if we're going to hear God's word, there needs to be some faith involved. There needs to be some belief involved in what God says. I know that we have a little bit of circular reason again in John 10:17, but listen to John 10:17. It says, and this is when I still remember, 12 years old, preached my first sermon, standing behind that wooden pulpit that is in the front room now in Boyce, Louisiana, and I preached a 3-point sermon on faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How do you get faith? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I can't remember my third point. I doubt anybody else could either. I guess it's been so long ago. But that was my first 2 points. So a powerful 5-minute long sermon. It was good. But look at what it says. Faith comes by hearing. Wait a minute. We just said you got to have hearing mixed with faith. Yes. Well, which come first, the hearing or the faith? Yes. You got it. You're right on. But you didn't answer my question. Yes, you answered your own question. Okay, well, which came first, the hearing or the faith? Right. Mm-hmm. So do I have hearing and then the faith? Mm-hmm. Well, do I have faith first and then I hear it? Right. Uh-huh. Am I confusing you? I want you to see that God mixes faith because He gives each one the measure of faith. And there's something wonderful about chocolate and peanut butter. Two great tastes that taste great together. There you go, Marco. Got you. Had to put that one in. That was for me. That was all for me. Actually, I had nothing to do with you. I just thought of you after I said the food stuff. But the reality of it is that hearing and faith need to be mixed together to bring about something that is acceptable to God, because the book of Hebrews tells us without faith, it is not even close to being possible to pleasing God. Right? It's impossible to please God. And so we have this issue. To hear Him, there's got to be a faith. There's got to be a belief. There's got to be a conviction. There's got to be a rock solidness in ourselves that when we hear, we know. We will believe. We believe. We have salvation, of course. We have receptivity, being receptive to Him. We have faith. Let me tell you another one, though. And this is where I think sometimes we will miss it. This is the fourth key. Or I won't say key, but requirement or ingredient. That's attentiveness. Attentiveness. We have got to be attentive. We've got to pay attention. Let me tell you the story of a young man named Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Great story. You know, I cut my teeth on the Old Testament stories as a kid. Raised up in the UPC church, we heard the stories of the heroes of faith. And sometimes it makes me, my heart cringes a little bit now when some of our kids don't have a clue about some of these stories. And thank God for good Sunday school teachers who will put these stories in there. But let me tell you something else, folks. Parents, we need to get our kids reading some of these great stories. I love the story of David and Goliath. And David, I had these picture Bibles that I'd look at and see these pictures and read these stories. We've got to get a hold of these stories and these truths that are there. They'll go with us throughout our life. 1 Samuel, Samuel's a little boy. His mama has prayed to God. God has heard her prayer. And she's obeyed. She's fulfilled her commitment. She's given her child back to the Lord's service. Samuel is ministering in the tabernacle of the Lord. He's cutting the wicks and keeping the oil and dusting and doing all the things that need to be done. And at night, he lays down near the Ark of the Covenant. And one night, when he lays down to sleep, he hears Samuel. Well, just, he thought he heard his name. So he jumps up and he runs to Eli. Sir, did you need something? This is the old prophet, the old priest, the old man of God. Do you need some water? Can I help you go? I mean, what do you need? Well, I didn't call you, Samuel. Go back to bed. Okay, I guess I was dreaming. Here goes little Samuel, 12 years old or so. He lays back down, just about dozes off again. Samuel. Runs back in there. Eli, you called me. I heard my name. After this takes place a couple times, Eli realizes something's going on. You see, even though Eli had messed up in some way, sometimes those who have a few years of seniority have a thing called wisdom. I'm just starting to learn about some of that. And he says, son, here's what's going on. God's trying to talk to you. And you can't hear Him. You can't hear Him because you're not paying attention. Next time you hear that, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel goes and lays back down. And I tell you what, I bet you this time he didn't go back to sleep. He lay there waiting. He wanted to hear. He couldn't hear the first couple times because he wasn't paying attention. Folks, you know what? It is so easy for us to not pay attention. I think that we have so many distractions and so many things that can pull us away. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. But How are we going to hear His voice if we don't listen? My wife is in Oklahoma, and I heard her voice today because I called her. I paid attention. That's not a great exact illustration. I just had to say that. The point of it is that we've got to pay attention in the midst of the cacophony. Is that how you say that word? Did I get it close? Am I close, Debbie? Debbie's the late. She always said, some of you may not have been here the night I preached on the, was it pseudo faith? Pseudo faith? Instead of pseudo faith. Debbie's so gentle. She comes later. She says, psst. Loser. No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. But see, we have these distractions. We have all these sounds. We have all these, you know, the last two nights out of the last week, I've been walking home from my neighbor's house in the evening, and I live just enough outside of the town to be able to see the stars. You know what I've seen the last couple of nights is how gorgeous the stars are. Absolutely riveting. And I thought to myself, I should call my wife when I get home and tell her to step outside so that she and I can look up and see the same stars. Where she is way up in Oklahoma, meet out here and look at the same, the Southern Cross and the Big Dipper and all those gorgeous. But how could I see those? They're up there every night. I don't pay attention. I don't notice them. So sometimes, you know what I'm trying to say. We need to pay attention. You want to hear His voice? Pay attention. The last requirement or key or ingredient or whatever you want to call this section on hearing His voice is discernment. And this is something you learn over time. But in John chapter 12, a couple of pages beyond where we are, we have an interesting scenario that takes place. And see, sometimes people can be in the same place and people around will hear different things, and only those who discern can know the voice of God. John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus talking about His death, and He says, "My soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came into this hour. Father, glorify Your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Look at verse 29. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to Him. But somebody knew the Father spoke, because it's reported that Father spoke out of heaven. I have a sermon I like to preach sometimes when I go to other churches. I only preach it once every church. At least I hope I haven't preached it more than once in any other church. But it's about letting go of your donkey. You remember me talking about that? How in worship, Abraham went to worship. And when Abraham and Isaac came back from the mountain, they had a story to tell. But when the servants came back from the mountain, all they talked about was the donkey, because Abraham said, "Stay here and guard the donkey. The boy and I will go out and worship. We'll come back to you." And so we talk about being donkey tenders. Two people, four people, same mountain, two stories. Because somebody went to worship and somebody went to take care of a donkey. Well, we need to learn to discern. We can hear the same things. That's why it's interesting to me in a situation like tonight. When I get through talking, one or two or three of you will share with me that you heard something from the Lord. The Lord spoke something to you. And you know what's interesting? It'll almost never be the same thing. Now, did God talk out of three sides of His mouth? No, but He spoke to our hearts like that guy. Those words I spoke to you earlier, He spoke to you what you needed. You know what's sad, though? Is that some people will go and say, "Man, I sure was glad when He finished." Because we didn't discern. We need to listen. We need to pay attention. We need to have faith. We need to be willing to obey. But we've got to discern the voice of the Lord. What happened on the mountaintop with Elijah? Oh, there was the earthquake. Yes, there was a fire, a great wind, and all this cacophony of noise, this great commotion. But He wasn't in the earthquake. He was in that still, whispered voice. I think the Spanish actually calls it almost like a whistle. You know when you whisper, your S's almost sound like whistles? Just a little bit of sound. It's that small voice. So we need to discern and listen for His voice. No, I'm going to leave that one alone. Let me bring this to a close and talk about why we want to hear His voice. The purpose for hearing His voice. Why do we want to hear? Back in John chapter 10, first thing is for fellowship. We want to hear His voice for fellowship. In John chapter number 10, verse number 3, it says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." He calls them by name. Spot, Rover, come here, Radar. Well, I don't know if you call him Radar. Fido. I don't know if you spell it P-H-I-D-E-A-U-X or F-I-D-O. But every one of them has got a name. And see, he knows his sheep. He understands them so well. He knows which one is really especially scared of running water. He knows which one walks with a limp. He knows which one gets tired or faster than the other ones. He knows which one will never, ever, ever eat brown grass, but who really likes dandelions. I mean, he knows his sheep. And he knows them by name, and he can differentiate. And we sit here on earth, and I look up at the stars, and I go, "God, there are a gazillion, quadrillion stars up there. And we're one little tiny planet on the third rock from one of those stars, and you know me? What is man that you would be mindful of him?" Right? And yet he knows us by name. Boy, the New Testament, Jesus made even more. He said he knows every one of those hairs. Good news is that he's not having to remember as much as he used to. But he counts the numbers on our head. He knows that he knows us so intimately. And so why do we want to hear his voice? So that we can enter into that kind of fellowship. Not just to be known through a one-way mirror, but to know him back. To experience him back. The most incredible thing that we'll ever have in this life is going to be that fellowship with him. Because that's what... Let me tell you something. I shared this with Warren today. Jesus said, "I'm going away to prepare a place." You know why he's taking so long? Because he's preparing us for a place. And it takes longer to prepare us than it does to prepare the place, I think, sometimes. But he's preparing us. And how does he prepare us? When we listen to his voice. And we hear him. And we enter into that fellowship. And we enter into that communion. And we have that interchange with him. And the life becomes expanded. This intimate... What does the Bible say that God spoke to Moses? It said God spoke to Moses the way a man talks to his friend. I don't know if I could have gotten any more southern. Talks to his friend. He spoke with him. Can you imagine? I wonder if they like Ford or Chevy's better. That's the kind of stuff friends talk about. I'm going to ignore Marco. That's the kind of stuff that they talked about. Don't friends talk about how their football team did? And don't they talk about, man, the one that got away? And it was this big. I mean, it was huge. And they talk about their paintball wars and their remote control vehicles and their sports. And then they talk about their kids and they talk about their hopes and their dreams and their job. And God spoke to Moses the way friends talk. What did Moses say about God's people? "I wish that all of God's people were prophets. I wish that all of God's people enjoyed this kind of fellowship. I wish that all of God's people could hear His voice like I do." I'm expanding on His words, but isn't that what He wanted for us? Isn't that what we have? See, the first purpose, the first wonderment, the first incredible reality of hearing His voice is that we enter into this communion. The second thing is understanding. And it's also in verse 3. I'm spending most of my time in verse 3. The sheep hear His voice. They akouo His voice. That's that word we used a while ago. They understand. They perceive. They grasp. And they're ready to act on. You know, some people couldn't understand the things that Jesus said. They were slow to hear. He would say something. They'd say, "Huh?" He gets through, and I like that the Pharisees come up and say, "You're not talking about us, are you?" Well, duh. That's not in the King James, but it's kind of implied there. That's in the new NASB, Nathan's a Silly Boy translation. The duh part, so don't look for it in yours. But understanding is something you and I need when he speaks, to be able to rightly divide and understand what he's saying. The third thing that comes out is obedience. Now, I'm going to show you in verse number 4, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They follow him. Verse 27, I think it is, says the same thing. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. One of the purposes for hearing his voice is to be able to obey him. To be able to obey him. But how can you obey what you don't hear? That's why we need to train ourselves to hear his voice. I got a phone call one day. 7 o'clock in the morning, my phone rings. And it's a good thing I was up. It was one of those rare days. And someone said, "What are you doing later on today?" Well, I mean, I got my plans, and I shared a little bit. And they said, "Well, what are you going to be doing around 5 o'clock? Well, you know, I shared with them. Why do you, you know, why? I'm thinking, you know, what I'm thinking is, you want to invite me out for supper? You want to come give me a gift? I'm an optimist, you know. Why do you want to know? Well, I want to get married. I want to see if you do this ceremony. You want to do what? Yeah, I met this person, and we're ready to get married. Well, then I began to share some things with them, and I didn't do the ceremony. But one of the things that I shared, because this person just knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they had found the right person. But see, the same person had known so many other things that were from God that worked out they weren't from God. This is why it's important. If we want to be able to obey Him, we have to hear His voice. We have to be able to discern His voice. We can go through life bouncing off one thing to the next like a pinball inside a pinball machine. Boing, boing, boing. And there can be lots of bells and there can be lots of whistles and lots of light. But there won't be any... When it's all said and done, you're going right back down the same tube you came from. If that's the life you want, then more power to you. But I don't want to live inside a pinball machine. I want to be bouncing... Yeah, the lights are fun. You know, the noises are cute. And all that stuff. But what about this issue of you make me lie down in green pastures? How about this issue of leading me beside still waters? How about this issue of restoring my soul? And how about this issue of giving me green pasture? Being with me in the death of my father, my mother, my sister, my child, my brother. My aunt. How about this issue of walking with me through these valleys and leading me to these higher points? How about this journey with our shepherd? The sheep obey him. The scriptures are full, block full of verses that talk about the need to obey. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Don't do the things I say. 1 John talks about this issue of demonstrating our obedience by obeying him. I mean, there's so many scriptures that speak of this. There are a lot of other benefits from it, but let me just remind you that you can hear His voice today. In the Old Testament, He spoke in many ways. He spoke in angels, visions, dreams, symbolic actions, fleece, whispers, miracles, signs, all kinds of stuff. Ummin and thummin, not sure what those are, but He used them. Peter tells us, though, that we've been given something, a prophetic word that's much more sure. It doesn't waver. It's not subject to private interpretation. The Word of God. Paul tells Timothy that this Word of God, this Scripture that's been given to us, has been breathed by God. It's been theos pneumaticos, pneumatico, something like that. As God breathed. God breathed this. And He gave this to us. And He's spoken to us about His Son. And He's spoken to us in His Son. Hebrews 1 tells us in these last days. He used to talk in lots of ways, but He's spoken to us in His Son. I want to encourage you and I, on this first service of the year, that we strive and seek and set ourselves to hear His voice. To listen to what He has to say. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just pretend that we heard what He said. I love the story I heard one time about President Roosevelt. He got tired of the same. He was easily bored man, apparently. And the protocols that went on were something he put up with, and the receiving lines that went on, and people come through the line, he'd mumble a little something, and they'd keep on going. So one day, according to what I read, he decided to change it up. And everybody that came through, he said, "I murdered my grandmother today." And most folks would say, "You know, thank you, sir. Keep up the good work." You know, but there was one diplomat who was listening. And when he came to the line, President Roosevelt said, "I murdered my grandmother today." And the diplomat responded, "I guess she deserved it." It's important to know what you're hearing. It's important to pay attention. I'll never forget, we were in Mexico. We were missionaries down there, and Matias, and the Lord has sent down a good crew. We had several folks, several missionaries together working in a really broad area. And a young single lady from Missouri had come down, Joanne, I believe is her name, and she stayed there for about a year. And she was visiting with a Lebanese family that we had befriended, and a guy that we called Uncle John, T-O-1. And as a matter of fact, I rented two houses from him during the time we were there. And so one night she was at their house having supper. She hadn't learned Spanish very well, but she was doing pretty good. She was trying. And so they invited her to spend the night. And she did what most people do who don't speak much Spanish. Si. You know. And they got time, got ready, you know, supper to be over with. And she stood up and they said, "No, you said you're going to spend the night." Now, I mean, nothing weird about this. It's just it was an older couple who looked at her like, "Daughter, don't go there." But, you know, they probably explained to her, "We invited you to spend the night. You said, yes, this will be your room." She says, "Okay, well, can I go three houses down to my house to get my toothbrush?" You know, be careful what you say. See to. Listen. Attentiveness. Focusing on Him. May 2003 be a year of hearing His voice for us. May it be a year of hearing His voice. And we look back and we'll say, "You know what? He spoke to me. And I got something out of every single sermon." Wouldn't that be a great thing to be able to say? "I got something out of every sermon I heard this year." Why? Because I listened. There was something that I knew the Lord was going to speak to me. Now, once He speaks to you one time, doesn't mean you can stop listening. Keep on listening to the end of the sermon. He might say something else. But let it be a year of hearing God's voice. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank You for speaking to us tonight. Thank You for meeting with us, for gathering us together with Your saints to fellowship, to love each other, to enjoy one another. Thank You for this new year, a fresh start of beginnings for us, Lord. May it be a year of Your blessing and hearing Your voice and honoring You in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty then. Why don't you share? What did you hear from the Lord tonight?
You know, there's a kind of a standard joke between spouses, and we tell one another that we have collective hearing.
Right.
And a lot of times that's true. We do. We tune out what we don't want to hear.
It does.
And it's the same thing with the Lord. We'll tune out that which we don't care to take in. If it pinches too hard, we'll tune it out.
Right.
"That doesn't apply to me. That applies to so and so."
Ouch. That's good. Are we ready to akouos, to listen with the intent of obeying? In the air saying, "How high, Lord?" Somebody else share something. Go ahead, Sister Joanne. I think he's going to mumble. They tried to get to you in time, Sister Reed, but they were a little slow back there. So,
just the thought that stood out that I really ministered to me was that hearing His voice, what He said, what He's saying now, and what He's saying in the future.
Amen.
I just really touched.
Praise God. Now, see, that was early in the message. She could have slept through the rest of the message because she heard something, but you paid attention. I saw you. Thank you, Sister Joanne. Good example. All right, somebody else share something good. Yeah, y'all should have seen Dave with that paintball gun the other day, though. He was moving pretty good.
When you were ministering, you brought like a memory for me. a couple of years before we established this ministry, we were living in Lafayette. And the Lord leads you and guides you. A lot of times you don't realize He's doing that, but He's doing that anyway. He's going to do it because you're His sheep. But if you want to know what He's doing, I think there's a place you have to come to. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17, I believe, if anyone's willing to do His will, then he'll know of the teaching, whether it's of God or whether it's of man. What had happened in my case was that I came to a point of having to work process a lot of different things because of my religious background and trying to get my head on straight and working some things out of my life. But I came to the place that I said to the Lord, said, Lord, I'm willing to do anything you want. And I know you've heard me share this before. I'll go anywhere you want. I'll do anything you want. You know, I told him it didn't make any difference. Whatever he wanted was what I wanted. I just wanted him to tell me what he wanted me to do. Not somebody else can tell me, for him to tell me. And, of course, I asked him for my wife. That she needed to be a part of the package. What happened was probably in the next, I think that happened, anyway, the next several weeks, one morning when I'm worshiping the Lord, playing my guitar and worshiping and singing, that's when the Holy Spirit came on me and spoke to me and said, go home. Mm. Now, He doesn't always fill in everything, but He gives you the sense of direction. And that was the starting place of this ministry, actually, over a year and a half before we started this ministry. But while you were ministering tonight, I remembered that. It's like the Lord reminded me how very important it is to be able to say that. Mm. That I don't want to do my will. I want to do Your will. Mm. And whatever that is, I'm willing, Lord. I just want to know that You're in it. And I think if God's people can come to that place, you're going to begin to hear more clearly. Because a lot of times we want God's will in our life, but we want it on our standard. We want it according to what we want. But if we can stop saying that, stop saying it's not what I want, it makes any difference. I don't want to design my own life. I want what You want, Lord. And I think when we begin to pray that way, you start hearing much more clearly.
Amen.
Anyway, I just wanted to tell you, Nathan, that was an awesome, awesome ministry. He was
praise the Lord.
Powerful, and I appreciate it.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Nevertheless, not what I will. That's what I think the sheep has, you know, they follow Him. That's the issue. No, I want to eat in the south pasture today. I'm sorry. Getting carried away. Just read it. Come on back, brother. She didn't get a chance to get that mic first time. You can make up for it. Need a Nerf football. You can stick it aside and throw it. That way it would take them out.
You know, when it came time for Tiny and I to leave this ministry, it was not something we personally chose to do. But had we not been listening to the voice of God, we were very comfortable here, and that was not an easy decision to make, but we had submitted ourselves to the Lord. So, Lord, use us any way You want to. It doesn't matter to us. We're Yours to spend as You will. And, you know, that's, you know, when He sent us out, it was not a personal choice, but it was a choice to follow what He had given us to do. And had we not been listening to the voice of God, we would not have left.
Got to be listening. And He may tell you something totally that you're not expecting, right? Sure weren't expecting that, were you? It's been a blessing to that fellowship, I know, and to you guys as well. Who else wants to share? Who's next? Go ahead, Brother Robert.
I was just going to say that it really blessed me tonight, what you were talking about the shepherd. Leading the sheep, and I mean it's something we've heard, and you know, as long as we've been Christians. But you know how I like the illustration of cats. You know, you try to herd cats, and they're gone. And that the sheep are led by hearing the voice of the shepherd calling to them over this way. You know, follow me.
Yeah.
And so they go off. You know, this big crowd of them following because they hear Him speaking to them, and that. The heart of the shepherd is to care for the sheep, is to bring them to places to feed, bring them to places where there's quiet waters to watch out for the sheep. And the purpose of His voice speaking to them is to produce those good things in their lives and to protect them. And it just encouraged my heart that that's God's heart toward us. That, you know, Him speaking to us, you know, it's not to scold or whatever, but it's He's wanting to say things that are going to bring life to us, things that are going to bless us. But anyway, and I just, you know, bless me.
I really like what you said. The heart of the shepherd is to feed us and take care of us. That is beautiful, Robert. It is. We don't trust that sometimes. But I like it here. If you just knew how much better it was. How many of you parents have ever seen that in your kids? They're like, if you only knew I had something so much better for you than that, whatever it is you're hanging on to, let go of it, you know. And, but we do it sometimes. I like that. The heart of the shepherd is to take care of the sheep. Who else is going to share? I don't want to drag it out. I just want to give you the opportunity. Go ahead, Brother David.
Do you think that sometimes, I'm going to illustrate, say me and Tina are on a plane with parachutes on our back.
Train him how to use that microphone, Kyle.
Pretend we're on a plane and we got parachutes on our back.
Okay.
And Tina knows me. Now, we're gonna, this illustration, she's going to represent God, and I'm going to represent myself. Like she, I just give her the big head. But now she knows me. She knows what I will and will not do. Now, she says, well, it'll be good if we jump out this plane and skydive for a little while. I'll do that. And then she looks at me, no, you won't. Yes, I will. And it goes back and forth. And I say, Tina, I will do whatever you tell me to do because I love you. And I'm going to go wherever you go because I love you. So she jumps out. Because she knows I'm not going to jump out the plane. But she wants to show me that I'm not going to jump out the plane. And I illustrated that to say,
I'm lost, but go ahead.
Do you think? No, it's fixing to make sense.
All right.
Okay, God already knows what we are and are not going to do. Do you think that sometimes He'll say, well, you got to do this? And we'll say, oh, yes, Lord, I'll do that. And He'll tell us, do it. It's not like He's trying to say that I want to see if you're going to do it. He's trying to tell us, I want to show you just how far you're going to go for me. I want to show you how good you're going to listen to my voice. See, you'll know. And maybe that helps us grow and learn.
That does seem to be the pattern with Abraham and Isaac. God didn't need to know if Abraham, but Abraham needed to know what he was willing to do. Similar things with Peter. You know, Peter's boasting and bragging about all he would do for the Lord. He didn't do it. The Lord helped bring him back. I think about Paul. The Lord said, I've showed him all the things that he must suffer for my name's sake. So there may be some places for that, David, if I'm understanding what you're saying. Well, there can be that room for that. I mean, there can be a lot of room for that. You know, what I see in John 10... is, I talked a lot about the circular reasoning tonight, one thing leading to the other, which leads to the other, and it kind of ties in what you're saying, but the issue to me of him, are they his sheep because they hear his voice, or do they hear his voice because they're his sheep? Yeah. Right. And so, does the Lord allow some things to happen in our lives to show us so that we'll see or we'll know? I think he does. I absolutely think he does. Oh, he knows. Yeah. He knows his sheep. He says, I know them. They just need to know that I know them. And I love the verse that says, and I have other sheep. They're not in this fold, but they're coming. I got to go talk to them. And they'll hear my voice too. There'll be one flock and one shepherd. Thank you, Brother David.